back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the reality is we've engaged in this beggar thy neighbor economic development for, well, I guess the entire time this country's been around. And the idea then, at least in theory, has been that it's going to make better working conditions. We're going to have better jobs, better economic security, on and on. You hear these every time one of these schemes come up. It's always, hey, it's going to be good for you. It's like, the whole tax cut thing. We're going to give rich people all the money, and eventually it'll trickle down to you, and you'll get something. Yeah, right. Now, I've been screaming for decades that this welfare handout system that we give corporate America, really not great for us. Not great for workers, not great for taxpayers, because we're not getting much of a return. And finally, there are a group of legislators across the country who are asking the same questions. And, oh, by the way, actually doing something to end the economic civil war that has gripped our country and is breaking the working class. That's why I have asked Josh Elliott to come talk with us. Josh is a Connecticut state representative in the 88th district of their General Assembly. Josh, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. If you hear heavy breathing in the background, my yellow lab has been cooped up all day and she's begging for attention. So I'm going to try to give you as much attention as possible, but that's what that heavy breathing is.
All right. Either that or you're going to get really lucky. So one or the other.
No. I do feel lucky that I'm such a well-trained dog, though.
There you go. Good for you. I don't really know where you go from there with that.
I leave it up to you, though.
That is actually the first time I've ever, in 15 years of doing this, I've ever heard that. So good on you. Look, you've now made my Thanksgiving.
Fantastic.
So let's get to this idea, because everybody knows about Kansas. Everybody knows, I should say almost everyone. Donald Trump doesn't know Kansas City's in Missouri, but we look at Kansas, we look at Missouri, we look at the Civil War that was going on there, and basically we were just giving huge amounts of money to different corporations to literally move across the street. And I've been saying, right, this is insane. I don't know how we got into this, but we got to stop it.
Yeah, it's a race to the bottom, and I think there's a lot of pressure when you get elected to do what you can to say, hey, look, I brought people to the district, I brought people to the state, and really, you have limited means to be able to do so, but you have an ability to say, all right, well, if I can reach out to this company and say, hey, you come here and you don't pay any taxes, or you pay 50% off your taxes, whatever the scheme may be, that feels intuitively like you're doing a good thing for your district. So the pressures are pretty intense in terms of being in these positions and trying to show that you're doing good jobs. The problem is the statistics, the data is out there, and we know that 80%, 70 to 80% of these corporate moves happen with or without that package. And that even if you're bringing new money in, 90% of that money ends up going back to services, like whether it's education or whether it's transportation infrastructure. So every dollar that you're spending, you're getting a really, really good return, and the fact is we just don't.
Yeah. With Bernie Sanders at the top of the polling right now, we're hearing a lot about socialism. And, people are whining and complaining. Oh, so their heads are about to explode at the dreaded S word. But I look at this, and I've been saying that this is socialism at probably its worst, because we don't really get a benefit. Most of these companies were going to move where they moved. They were going to go where they were going to go. It's just they got a pot full of money to sweeten the whole thing for them.
Yes, and it's a ton of money, too. And the problem is it's just not people's faces in the way that amount that you owe to the state or that amount that you owe to the federal government is at the end of the year. Because people don't see it, they don't recognize how much money is going towards these subsidies. I also want to say that part of this compact is not just attacking the issue of subsidies for corporations. It's also trying to end poaching as well. And it's essentially an agreement between states saying, listen, we're not going to send people, emissaries, to your state to say, hey, come look at our state. It's so much better. And this is what happened to maybe 4 or 5 years ago. The governor of Florida came to Connecticut and said, Connecticut's so expensive to live. Connecticut has such burdensome tax rates. You need to come to Florida. It's going to be so much better for you. And it's pretty insulting. And I also think that there's other things that make a state worth living in above and apart from the tax structure.
You're right. But that same governor, Rick Scott, came to Pennsylvania to do the same thing.
Exactly. And, one thing that we're going to have trouble with this anti-poaching aspect of the bill, too, is how do we build teeth into this? And I can say that we have not necessarily found an answer. At the same time, I think two things. Is one, that we have to have this conversation, because if you don't have the conversation, you're not going to come up with any solutions.
Yep.
And the next is, it's going to be an iterative process. So let's get something in place. So the bill that we've been working on, which is starting to work its way through the Connecticut legislature and a number of other legislatures, including New York, is to say, okay, we have this general cell, and the goal is going to be to continue to improve it over time.
No, I mean, that makes sense. But I've said, in fact, 15 years ago, I had a congressman on the program, and I said, what we need to do is we need the federal government to step in and stop this. And if you have to use highway transportation funds to do it, or some measure as punishment, then you have to do that. But you can't allow these states, you can't continue this race to the bottom, this giving away the resources that fund our education or our infrastructure. And the reason is, I grew up in Cleveland, and, okay, during the 80s when Voinovich was mayor, he basically gave the baby in the bathwater away to get all these Fortune 500 companies to come to Cleveland. And they came. They got 25-year tax abatements. They got free water, free sewer, free land. They got everything they could possibly want. And as soon as that period ended, they all bolted. But what they also did is they didn't create the jobs that they were going to say they were going to create, because they brought their employees with them and they moved to the suburbs. And now the city, you look at the city of Cleveland, the school district's screwed, the infrastructure's screwed. And this is it was a bad experiment. And we should stop it.
So we had a really high-profile loss a number of years ago, and this was GE left our state to go to Massachusetts. And so for the people that have not been following and really didn't read the local newspapers, it's because Connecticut's tax structure is onerous. But really, they were in the press saying over and over and over, this is not about taxes. This is about the pipeline of talent. This is about access. And the fact is that if we move to Boston, we're going to have a much better selection of folk who will be looking to go into IT. And the people that are already here just want to live in a more urban environment. And the whole idea of building out our suburban environment to satisfy these large companies, it turns out that a lot of these companies that went to these more suburban environments did very, very poorly over time, because they need that hustle and bustle of an urban environment, of that talent pipeline, to stay on top of the pack. And so they were in the press saying, there's no amount of money that you can throw at us that will keep us here. But for a lot of people, there's still the argument of, what could we have done? What could we have done? Lower those taxes, give them tax abatements. For a lot of companies, it's way more about quality of life. How's the education system? What is transportation like? And the fact is that those questions are remedied by higher taxes, by a better infrastructure, by stronger government.
Yep.
And I think that's so often ignored in the calculus, that you can't have both low taxes and a strong governmental structure. It's one or the other.
Yeah, there was a number of years back, I interviewed a guy who his business was a site location for corporations, and he was very clear. He said, I look for five things: location, 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 education, local infrastructure and transportation.
Right.
And location, and location, location were the first three beyond question.
Sure. I think what's really interesting in this conversation, too, is just knowing what goes on behind the scenes and knowing really what the players are thinking. So about a month ago, I think this was the Washington Post put out this article, and it was talking about Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. And a lot of this whole debacle that happened in New York, I mean, states were being totally played off of each other to get this new headquarters for Amazon. And billions of dollars were offered and thrown at Amazon, this already massively profitable corporation. And, of course, New York won the bid and then backed out. And amazingly, a year later, Amazon says, we're going to go there, which means that, hey, New York saved all that money. And in that year, there were so many people that were saying, oh, look at what those liberals did, what those progressives did. They ruined this deal. No, they didn't. They saved you a bunch of money. And the reason that Jeff Bezos wanted to do this was because he was looking at what Elon Musk was doing in terms of working with the government and saying, why is he doing all those tax subsidies and we aren't? And he tasked his whole team was saying, make sure we get more government subsidies. And I think that is absolutely disgusting.
I'm right there with you. But here's the thing. Before the whole H2Q frenzy went on, I said, you know they're going to D.C. You know they're going to New York. You know that's where it's going to happen. You've already got the West Coast thing in Seattle. You know the population centers of New York and D.C. because you want to be near the politics. You know that's where they're going. So all of those 230-plus communities across this country who compiled all of their demographic data, all of their proprietary information, and then for free handed it over to Amazon for them to peruse and to use as they will, just made me sick.
Absolutely right. And the thing is that the people who argue against this just aren't paying attention to the problems of it for whatever reason. So, you know, a couple of years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, this gentleman, Dan Johnson, who is a lobbyist out of Chicago, Illinois, took it upon himself to reach out to a number of legislators across the U.S. He actually reached out to one of my colleagues before me, and my colleague is the chair of transportation, just totally overwhelmed with the work, passed it off to me. And you can't be responding to every single person that reaches out to you. You just do not simply have the bandwidth for it. But this issue was really, really, really important to me. And so I reached out to him just to get a sense of how serious it was. And a couple of years later, I have, you know, dug into my pockets in terms of reaching out to the people that I've met through national networks of politicos and gotten as many people involved with this as possible. And Dan has done a really good job of holding the group together, making sure that we're, you know, talking once every month, once every couple months, and getting some really good language that. And so there's this really odd thing about this topic specifically that has something to do with criminal justice reform as well, which is that the far left and the far right agree on these two main principles, which is that criminal justice reform needs to happen because it's too expensive. And for the left, it's that it's immoral. So we both totally agree that reform needs to happen. And then the issue of corporate subsidies, it's a huge waste of money. And so we both agree on that issue just based on the face. So we have a number of academics that are maybe a little more left-leaning. We have a number of think tanks that are maybe a little more right-leaning. And we have a really good group of both academics, think tanks, and politicos that's pushing this across the U.S. And really the question now becomes a strategic one. Does it make more sense to break it up into a regional effort in various areas of the U.S.? Do we wait until there's a number of states that are on board? At the very least, I think what we're doing by talking about these problems is it brings it to light, and then we'll be able to continue to come up with solutions. It's going to take a while. This is a big, thorny problem to untangle.
No, I absolutely agree. But until you can get the South on board, I think, you know, most plans are going to falter because you see a lot of the race to the South. Because they're giving huge subsidies away. I mean, I think about in my community where I live, in the tiny little hamlet of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, where I live, you know, we had, you know, Carlisle Tire and Wheel that, you know, the state of Tennessee gave free land, massive amounts of subsidies. You go down the list of all the things they got, and the local tax base here couldn't compete. So a company that was founded here 93 plus years ago up and moved because they got a sweetheart deal.
Right. And then it leaves everybody left with no jobs and no way to fund government. And the whole town just goes immediately. Can I swear now? Or
I prefer not to. But
Okay. So it goes to crap.
There you go. It goes to hell in a handbag. We can go there as well.
Exactly.
With Trump's FCC, I don't really want to, you know, jump into to that realm.
But you're
spot on right. I mean, the reality is. We've got to do something about it. And when you explain this to most people, because I don't think most people get, you know, oh, hey, we're bringing jobs to the area. That's great. There was a ribbon cutting. The local politician got the smile and was on the front page of the local newspaper. But you don't really get what it's costing us down the road in infrastructure and education and an investment in the future of our country, as opposed to just, you know, a little sweetener for the shareholders and the CEOs of this company.
Right. I think there's a big difference between the homegrown company and the company that you incent to come in with huge tax breaks that can be a little bit more mobile. And that is to say that I've been fighting since I got elected about 3-4 years ago for tax equity. And in Connecticut, the more money you make, the less you pay as a percentage of your income and state and local taxes. And I think that is a huge problem in terms of building up the middle class and building up the impoverished and making sure that the wealthy pay their fair share. And I think that there's a corollary there, because part of the argument is that we can't tax our rich people, because if we do, in our state of Connecticut, they will leave. But the reason that that's wrong is that the people who are wealthy in our state are wealthy as a result of having built their business here. And it's this idea of sticky capital. And so they went from nothing to something. And they have family here. They have real estate here. They have all their connections here. Their business is here. They can't leave,
right.
Nor will they want to leave, because it's not transferable. But any business that you could get to come here that would move all the way from across the country or from a different state just for that dollar, exactly to your point, as you've been saying over and over again, they will do that the second that our deal isn't as good as somebody else's. And yes, there's a frictional cost of moving, and yes, there's quality of life issues, but it's far less likely that they will stay than a company that is homegrown. So really, if we're going to subsidize, and I don't think that we should subsidize the small business, the medium-sized business, and allow them to grow, because we know that they'll actually stay around. And we're actually at a point right now where I'm beginning to fight a little bit with the Department of Economic and Community Development, because the person who is the commissioner of that agency is basically saying, listen, we need some sort of tools in our toolbox to get companies to stay here. So what they're proposing is a back-end subsidy of 25% off the payroll tax that would go to the employer. And what I'm saying in response to that is, like, fine, if you want to give a subsidy, give a subsidy, but give that to the employee, because that's the employee's money. That shouldn't be going to the employer. And we have this big problem of people that have already made it, that are already doing well. We're trying to shower them with these gifts of tax abatements and subsidies. And it's a real problem, and we have to keep on shining a spotlight and show that it's just wrong based on simple mathematics.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys are doing that. So last question I've got for you. You know, what do we do? What do our listeners do? What does the average Joe do to help in this cause? Because, look, I've explained this, you know, to hundreds of people over the years face-to-face, and everyone's outraged when they get to the end of it going, is that how this works? That's ridiculous. You know, what do we do?
So we do have a website. It's endtaxgiveaways.org. And I'll be honest with you, now that I'm saying it, it might be .com, or I might have butchered it a little bit. So you might, at some point, in maybe a later episode, shout out what the actual website is. But we have started building a website so that people can get on board with an email list. But really, more than anything, what I would say is have contact their local representative and their local senator and say, hey, have you heard of this compact? And if you're interested, reach out to these folk. I'm Josh Elliott. I'm from Connecticut. Dan Johnson is from Illinois. We have Ron Kim from New York. We have about 15 to 20 separate legislators from various states that are on board. And what would be really nice is if we had one champion in every single state. Maybe it won't get through every single state, but if we could have a champion everywhere, that would be great. And I'm sure there's at least one body in these chambers around the U.S. that would be on board. So it's really about making sure that your elected officials are aware of this, and so that we can continue growing this on a national basis.
There you go. The website is endtaxgiveaways.org. We'll get links out so folks can take a look at it and have some information. Josh, I appreciate the time. Really great talk with you. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again at some point down the road.
Absolute pleasure. You tell me, I'll be there.
Good stuff. And I didn't hear the dog, so that worked well.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe less heavy breathing in the background, but she actually calmed down pretty quickly, so it ended up not being a problem. And it just ended up being a really weird intro for you, so there you go.
Good stuff. Thank you, Josh Elliott. Appreciate the time. Again, making sure you check out the website, endtaxgiveaways.org, the website. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.